Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Welcome back in, everybody, to a Football Friday edition of Birds 365. Wrapping up phase 2 of free agency. We're joined now by Les Bowen joining the show. Les, welcome to the show, man. How you doing on this Football Friday?
Great. How are you, Xander? How are you, John?
Doing well. Good to see you, buddy. I haven't talked to you in a while, so I'm interested to hear your thoughts on the clearance aisle off season, man. The Eagles have been paying too many people. They know what's coming down the road with Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith and even Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they had to let some people go. That was difficult. And everybody who's come in, Les, 1 year, very little money. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the clearance aisle off season so far?
Well, the main thing that strikes me is you work so long and so hard to win a Super Bowl. And then it's almost like you're like grabbing guys off the parade bus to release or trade them. You know, it just seems so abrupt and so quick. And so I think Josh Sweat even said something in his press conference out in Arizona about how you didn't really get to celebrate the Super Bowl at all. You know, this is true in every sport, I guess. It's nothing new, but we don't win that many championships around here, so it seems odd to us. It really struck me as, you know, that everything kind of goes in a different direction so fast. And
yeah, we were talking about the draft before you came on.
Yeah.
I'm like, I haven't even thought about the draft. It's right. It's when you go that far and you win and then you're right into free agency. It's amazing how quick it goes. But yeah, guys like Milton Williams, I love Milton Williams personally. You know, I went to his football camp, his youth football camp a couple years ago, developed a little bit of a relationship. I thought he bet on himself. I thought he's such a great story. 26 million is gone. Gone. Boom. Hey. It from that point, it's so disappointing, but it is just business as usual for the NFL. But the Eagles are on this run, Les. I mean, 3 Super Bowls in 8 years, 2 mm-hmm. Super Bowl championships. They probably should have won the third one. I think they play better in the game. They're now they've raised the expectations as an organization, and everybody wants them to go back. Is it legitimate to think that way, or is it fair for the Eagles to say, "Hey, we want to build this thing for the long term"? How do you feel about that? Seize the window versus I want to be more fiscally responsible.
Yeah. Well, I'm conflicted about it, like a lot of people. First of all, I don't think anything that's happened so far takes them out of the realm of contention for the Super Bowl. They aren't as good a team as they were in, you know, early February, but they're still a very, very, very good team. And the one thing that they absolutely had to do, which was re-sign Zach Bond, they did. So I'm not like, oh my God, this is, you know, they're starting over again or anything. No, they're not. I do feel, though, there is a lot of focus on the cap 2 years from now and 3 years from now.
Well, they would say it's cash.
Howie Roseman
it's
knows what
cap.
He's doing.
It's What's the that? Cash. It's not the cap. It's the cash. They spent so much cash up front. Like the Eagles will tell you, over the past decade, their whole philosophy has been cash over cap. So, in other words, they put all those voidable years on the back end and to lessen the cap hit so they can build a better team in the immediate, in the immediacy of it. But now it's coming down. They know what's coming down the road. Like Jalen Carter's going to reset the market at defensive tackle.
Right.
Cam Jurgens is going to be top 5. Yeah. Go ahead.
as far as I don't really understand what their limitations are cash wise, but the cap went up $20 million this year.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, getting too tied up in what the what your obligations are going to be 2 years down the road. I mean, obviously Howie Roseman knows this stuff way better than I do, but I can't help but feel Howie was marked by the 2018 experience when he tried to hold on to a bunch of guys who it turned out kept getting hurt and maybe weren't, you know, that wasn't the way to go. That doesn't mean you do everything exactly the opposite this time. I don't think it's a different team. It's a younger team and you're
very young.
You're getting rid of some guys that, you know, certainly have a lot of good tread left on their tires. I'm still not clear on exactly why CJ Gardner-Johnson had to go, you know. I don't know. Like a lot of people, I understand that we're talking about the most successful organization in the sport, arguably you go next to Kansas City or you know, whatever, in the last decade. But I would have liked to have seen one or two of those guys stick around.
They playing with too much fire, in your opinion, Les? I mean, you just brought up a good point. I think they are, you know, 18 is in their is in their mind, and they're trying to recorrect, but boy, you're asking for a lot of things that are statistically against you to go your way in order to compete next year when you talk about one-year deals and, you know, all sorts of reclamation projects. Do you think they've gone too far, or do you like the approach by Howie?
I don't philosophically object to the approach. Like I said, I just feel like maybe one or two of these guys, it would have been good to find a way to keep them around rather than, you know, we've got to get everybody out. You know, it's, here's the thing. Their premise is they're going to have a lot of guys making a lot of money. And the rest of the roster is going to have to be people on rookie contracts. So they got all these draft picks stacked up and they've done historically well in the draft, like the last 3 or 4 years, it's been a phenomenal run.
And you know, that's changing.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, nobody's that smart. You know, nobody beats the draft forever and ever and ever every year. And I think a lot of fans are kind of expecting that now. Like, oh, they'll just draft a bunch of great players. You know, first of all, some of those great picks that they've made, they were able to get really high first round picks one way or another.
Yeah.
And that, credit it's to Howie.
Jalen Carter was what, 9?
Davis was 13. Bronte Smith, you know, they traded up for the top 10. Credit to Howie for being able to do that. But guess what? You know, the position they're in this year, it's going to be almost impossible to pick in the top 10 or 15. I mean, they'd have to give up a lot to get there. Are they going to just continue to kill the draft year after year after year? That's kind of almost what they're basing this on, is that they will. Maybe not. You know, I hope they do. But
yeah, I mean, even last year, Les, was a lot of things went your way on that defense. Think about it. You had Quinion, Cooper, Zach Bond, N'Kobe Dean turned into something. Nolan Smith turned into, like, a lot of stuff went your way last year.
It was phenomenal. It was unbelievable. Even guys like Isaiah Rogers, who's gone now,
Warren Burks in the Super Bowl.
Yes. And I thought that was going to be a huge
problem. N'Kobe got hurt against Green Bay.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be a big issue.
I hadn't really seen much from Oren Burks. He had played some defensive snaps during the regular season and didn't really look that good, frankly. But he had a tremendous playoff. You know,
he did.
And again, a guy that they just sort of, bye-bye. You know? He didn't get a lot of money. I guess that's what I'm saying is, I understand, like you were mentioning Milt Williams, and I like Milt Williams a lot as well, but there was a guy that got the money.
You know, $26 million.
Absolutely. I understand that. Some of these other things, you're looking at the money and you're like,
Well, sometimes I do think, Les, that, And I, as you point out, I feel silly saying it because Howie knows this stuff better than me. But like when they get a guy like Oren Burks, because I'm with you, why wouldn't you want Oren Burks back?
Right.
Well, when he gets to that second year, they did the same thing with Kaiser White. I remember, hey, they'll like Kaiser White back if it's a 1 year deal, but we can't go to 2 years.
Yeah.
When it's $2.5 million, who cares? No.
Yeah,
but
can't you tack dummy years onto that or something? I don't know.
Hey, So I made a good point.
One guy I was a little bit questioning, and I it was you, John, who made a very good point about it, was Mekhi Becton. You know, the market was not, I don't think, what he hoped it would be. He got a 2-year deal for not a huge amount of money, and I was thinking, yeah, they could have done that. But you made the good point that you can't have an offensive line where everybody is getting paid. Yeah. Even Becton, the money Becton got was substantial, even if it wasn't
$10 million
in the market.
Extraordinary. Yeah. You got to have somebody on that offensive line on a rookie deal or a vet minimum deal. You can't have five, top.
Yeah. Pay. And I like their plan because, you know, if you're playing next to Lane Johnson and in between Cam Jurgens, you're probably going to be okay, whoever you put out there.
Yeah, and they keep rotating that position. Yeah. They change that position almost every year for one reason or another.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you're about to see that on the defensive side too, next to Carter, right? They're not going to play two defensive tackles. Maybe they will with Jet Davis, but, you know, they're not going to pay everybody up on that D line, right, you know, $15 million or more. It's just not going to happen.
Now, you mentioned something about youth, and they are a very young team, and we just saw two guys walk out the door, and I know you were here for Brandon's entire career, basically. Yeah. I mean, boy, you don't see too many people who are just written off and make the kind of comeback, especially in this town, which
can I have never seen it in Philly. Yeah. I've never seen – I mean – it's hard to remember now, but the narrative was so entrenched by like 2015 when he really started to play well and get, you know, the majority of the snaps and things like that. It was like written in stone that they had screwed up, that Earl Thomas should have been the pick, and that this guy, he's sort of okay, but he's not really, they kind of screwed that up. And then he became, over the next 3 years, the guy that basically, along with Nick Foles, won the Super Bowl. And from that point on, you know, I started noticing after he made that play against Brady in the Super Bowl, it really plugged me into how often he would make the crucial play at the crucial time in a game. He never had unworldly sack numbers and great stats, but they would need something to happen and Brandon Graham would make it happen. And that's, to me, that's as high a praise as you can give any player.
Yeah. I always say, Les, and you remember the days of the conference call. At some point when opposing coaches had to have conference calls, now they eliminated them as they eliminate everything, but they had to talk to us every week. And whenever it was an offensive coach, they would start with 91 and 55 or 55 and 91. That's all they were concerned with when it came to the Eagles, blocking Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham. And that's where it all started when they were doing their game planning. And I heard it week after week after week. And I don't know, at some point you just started to figure out this guy's really good. But I think because he didn't have those big sack numbers, I think everybody said, he's okay. Mm-hmm. But everything is so hyper-focused on sacks. And this was one of the best two-way defensemen. He could set the edge. He could play the run. He could move inside if they needed him. There were a few years they didn't have that great interior pass rush. They'd move him inside. He'd rush from there.
Well, when they played the 3-4, everybody talks about those Chip Kelly years and how Chip was not high on Brandon as he, Chip had disaster.
Travis Long. You remember Travis Long.
I do. And, you know, it was ridiculous, and that's what everybody focuses on. But the other part of that story is that for three seasons, Brandon played outside linebacker in a 3-4, and he played it very well. Yeah. He was good at that, you know. It wasn't his best. I mean, he was better as a down lineman, but he did that he was very solid in that role. And to me, the Brady play kind of epitomizes Brandon Graham. If you ever go back, I mean, obviously everybody goes back and watches it. You see the still photos, even if you don't watch the video. But if you watch the video, he's being blocked. I mean, it's not like he's around the guy and in Brady's lap right away. He's being blocked, and he fights through the block and lunges. And they hadn't sacked Brady, hadn't hit Brady the entire game. Yeah. There's 2 minutes left. And he gets his hand up there and gets the ball, you know, and that's to me, that's Brandon Graham. You know?
Yeah. It's a cliche play, but it really works for BJ.
Yeah. Yeah. 58 minutes into a game where he had not gotten, a lot of people would have just gotten discouraged, you know, or just gotten, you know, frustrated, but
I think Brady threw for what? 505?
505. So, yeah. And they ran for 5 yards a carry. I mean, the Eagles defense didn't stop a damn.
Yeah, Jim Schwartz is still pissed about that game, and he won the Super Bowl.
It was horrible. It was just horrible defensively. Great offensively, horrible defensively.
Yeah, but I bring up Schwartz. Boy, those defensive linemen. Brandon brought it up at his press. They love Jim Schwartz, man.
Yeah.
Scott Fletcher, they love Jim Schwartz.
Brandon's, I think he's a good defensive coordinator. Yeah. They had horrible talent on the back end pretty much.
Well, that's
and linebacking. You know, that year the linebacking was sort of okay. It wasn't anywhere close to what they got from Bond.
No.
This year.
You know, it's funny. Jordan Hicks got hurt that year.
Yeah.
And Nigel Bradham kind of stepped up.
Well, and Kendricks, who had been kind of Michael Kendricks side, came up in the playoffs and played well.
Yeah.
Sort of like we were talking about Oren Burks.
Yeah.
But it was that defense wasn't anywhere close to what they had this year.
No doubt. Brandon Graham is an amazing player. And my favorite part about him is that he's an amazing person. You know, these people are. Athletes are humans. I think sometimes people forget that. So it's always good to humanize him. And I think he's
is he your favorite Eagle to cover?
He would have to be. I've had some others over the years that I've really enjoyed, but he outlasted them all, you know.
That's true. He outlasted everybody.
Yeah, no infectious personality. Les, I want to ask you about something here. You brought up a good point about kind of, you know, walking a thin line of like, do you get cheaper or did you make some decisions maybe you didn't need to make? You brought up C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I thought that was a good one. Well, how about Dallas Goedert? He's a guy that's out there right now. He's being floated around, could trade him, could cut him. Do they extend him? No, not much guaranteed money left moving forward. I don't want to muddy the question with my thoughts. Where are you on Dallas Goedert? What would you do if you were the Eagles on Goedert moving forward?
I would probably extend him. I understand a little bit their unease in that. I don't think when they got rid of Zach Ertz, their expectations for Dallas Goedert were, you know, Travis Kelce, George Kittle. For a couple reasons, that has never happened. One would be injuries. Dallas always misses at least a few games every year, sometimes more than a few games. Mm-hmm. The other is, for some reason, I don't think Jalen Hurts is a tight end guy. You know, I don't know why, but he doesn't seem to really look at the tight end as much as he could. I'm not sure if anybody you put in that role is going to be that prolific. I mean, you have A.J. Brown, you have Devontae Smith. That makes sense. And, of course, you're now a run-based offense.
Yeah.
You know, so the tight end isn't going to have Travis Kelce or George Kittle numbers ever here. Do you pay money for a guy to not be Travis Kelce or George Kittle? I don't know. But I do think, A, Goedert is still very, very capable. B, he's an excellent blocker in this run-based offense. And, you know, I don't see why you wouldn't extend him a year or two if that's amenable to him. I don't know what he thinks about his.
I think that's probably your hurdle, right?
Or his role.
Yeah, that's my perception there is Dallas probably thinks that this is his last chance to get big guaranteed money because he's, you know, post 30. So
are there that many teams that are going to lie? I mean, teams, this injury thing is kryptonite to teams. You know,
that's true. That's true.
He's an over 30 guy who gets hurt a lot. I guess if there might be a bad, poorly run team that's stupid enough to throw a 5-year big money contract at somebody.
No, I'm not five, but 2 years at significant money. Like, I don't think the Eagles would go 2 years at significant money. I think they might go, you know, how they do it less, the guarantee.
While everyone's talking about AI replacing people, smart companies know the real opportunity is using AI to make their people better. Lattice is the HR platform where people and AI succeed together, helping every employee grow, every manager lead, and every company achieve greater success. Let's build a people-powered future. No regrets. Visit lattice.com/no regrets. That's lattice.com/no regrets.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This year's contract, because the guaranteed money's up, so they'll guarantee this year and then kick in maybe $3-4 million next year. There's probably somebody that'll give them 2 full years.
Yeah, it just depends on whether you like whether that situation. You know, he has made a lot of money.
Yeah,
I mean, this
is that's true. Yeah.
This is a loser's argument, I know, because nobody ever thinks of it this way. But he's made a lot of money. Making a little bit more to go somewhere that might not be even close to as competitive as the Eagles are.
It all factors in
here to this point. If it were me, I don't know that I'd be excited about that. But I know I've seen it so many. I saw it the first time with Brian Dawkins. You know. None of us thought Brian Dawkins would leave that year. He talked all season. That was back in the days when the media actually stayed in the – actually worked in the actual NovaCare Center instead of an auxiliary building.
Wow. Yeah.
And we would run into Doc, you know, in the hallway or something, and we would ask him, you know, hey, your contract's up. What do you think will happen? He thought he'd be back. You know, I mean, he's not a guy to lie to you. You know, he thought he'd be back. He was thinking, you know, I'm not going to break the bank with this deal. Well, his agent had other ideas. Yeah. Agents have to compete in their field. You know, they're recruiting players and being recruited against by other agents who look at the deals that they've negotiated and say, and an agent will say, look, he only got so-and-so, such-and-such, you know. And Doc's agent knew he could get him a good bit more money at that time, under the 2009 definition of what money was, more than the Eagles were going to commit. And he did it. And he sent him to Denver, you know, and the Eagles were left, we didn't think anybody was going to do that. And, you know, a lot of people in the Delaware Valley, you know, Brian Dawkins was and is an icon, didn't think Doc would do that, but he sure did. And
It's very rare where players are going to take significantly less money. And I can't blame them. I mean, teams are going to move on quickly. You have a very short shelf life to make a lot of money, you know. So I get it from the I never criticize players, even Hassan Reddick. Yeah. It didn't work out for him, you know, after the 2022 season. I think that's when he had his highest leverage and probably should have pushed it more.
Right.
But so I never blame the player from that perspective when he goes like Milton and Josh and they go get money. they probably would rather be here, but it's just a realistic part of the business.
I don't even think the Eagles – did the Eagles make an effort to re-sign Josh Sweat?
No, yeah. I think they knew where it was going.
When he hired Drew Rosenhaus
during
the season, it's not so much that the Eagles don't do deals with Drew Rosenhaus. They certainly do. But you change agents a few months before hitting free agency, obviously –
for a reason.
That's what you're thinking is going to happen, you know, regardless of who you hire. And, you know, that I think he was gone in the middle of the season and he knew that.
Yeah. Well, I think he was gone the minute the Eagles made him take a pay cut to come back.
Yeah.
That's something that's tough to get over the hump. But,
and that's something fans don't ever talk about is the frequency with which teams do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's something. When I first started covering the Eagles, I had no idea because I covered hockey before that, and nobody ever did that in hockey. Nobody ever asked for money back.
Yeah, they don't make money like this in hockey, man.
But I remember Hollis Thomas, maybe a year after the Super Bowl 39, they just made him, he had gotten hurt, and they just said, hey, you want to go out and find a deal somewhere, or you want to play for half of what you were making. And he was like, oh, well, what am I going to do? You know, and he wasn't in a position to go out and find a deal somewhere. He was a little bit older and he had been hurt and he had to take it, you know, and it was painful for him because he wasn't making $20 million a year or anything like that. But
They will do that. Yeah.
Those were the Joe Banner years. They just ruthless.
Joe was ruthless. Like,
we've got the advantage on you. You can. Yeah.
I think Howie's a little bit more political than Joe.
Yes, he is. But, worries a little bit more about what the locker room thinks.
Yeah, the perception.
I mean, there were times when they really, their culture suffered from their approach.
Oh, yeah. I mean, during the Chip, the whole Deshaun LaShawn thing, they built a whole podcast around ripping Chip Kelly for a while. The culture has gotten to a point where I do think they take it very seriously. Now, they'll still hardline it. It's interesting because I bring up Hassan. They hardlined it with Hassan.
Yeah.
But they try to not get to that last year as much as possible and try to extend players early that they think are foundational pieces. And they've done it time and time again. And I think that's been one of their huge advantages. Yeah. But that's sort of been the demarcation line. You can see it, Les. It's like, all right, we think these guys, Zach Bond, are foundational players. And Milton, Josh, maybe Dallas, CJ.
Landon Dickerson was a guy that they gave.
Landon Dickerson's on the foundational. Devontae, AJ, Jalen, on and on. Lane Johnson, on and on and on. And then you see the line and everybody below the line. I've argued they have too many good players, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, that's what was apparent. It didn't really – I mean, we talked a lot about how good the roster was, but until those final two games, the 55-23 in the NFC Championship game and the 40-6 lead in the Super Bowl, I didn't quite understand because they didn't always play to that level, Frank.
Absolutely.
You remember the season?
No. Yeah, you're right, for sure.
If they'd have played like that all year, I think we would have understood. But, yeah, this was by far the most talented Eagles team ever and one of the more talented – Super Bowl winning teams.
Yeah. Those two games immortalized this team, Les.
Those
two games.
It was incredible. I mean, I was having dinner a couple nights ago with Paul Domowicz, my wife and me and Domo's wife. And I said to Domo, did you ever think all those years, because Domo covered the Eagles from the mid-80s.
Yeah.
Did you ever think you would be sitting there watching the Eagles up 40-6 in the Super Bowl ever against anybody?
I mean, I was there watching the game, and the stat that blew me away, Les, blew me away. The one thing was defense. Nine consecutive drives Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid did not pass midfield for nine consecutive drives. That was the first time the entire year in the NFL that a team did not pass the 50 in nine consecutive drives in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And we blew up the defense. Why does that not work? Why does that not sound right to me? You know,
now, that's the NFL. Like, you pay the offense, and hey, they'll figure it out.
The defense throttles Mahomes and Andy Reid in the Super Bowl, and half the defense walks out the door, and the whole offense is intact.
Damo, you bring up Damo. Damo would appreciate this, Les. You've been around sports, different sports, government a long time. I don't know from your perception. My perception is when somebody has this big reputation, they almost invariably never live up to it because people make them out to be almost mythical creatures.
Yeah.
Vic Fangio was undersold.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of – I remember very well the conversation last offseason, which was – Jimmy Kemsky did a good job of coming up with all this. The Fangio defenses in 2023, the defenses run by his acolytes, they were all bad.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of talk that the Fangio system, which had been dominating the league for a while, was kind of, you know, that maybe that was like yesterday's news, you know, that it wasn't really that the offenses had kind of like the West Coast offense, you know, it was no longer something new and different and unstoppable. It had gone the other side of the ball had evolved. The teaching that went on, the improvement of some of these players was just phenomenal.
That's what it is, Les. It's the teaching. It's not the scheme. It's the teaching of the scheme. But Vic said, and we all did a double take in training. It was in training camp last year when he was talking about sort of all his acolytes, whether he trained them or they just copied him from afar, and he was like, "Yeah, he doesn't tell them everything.
Yeah,
he doesn't
you know, give them the keys to the kingdom. Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. But
I think Belichick was a little bit like that too. I think that was one of the reasons that his acolytes never, one of the many reasons that his acolytes never equaled him. I don't think he ever really imparted everything that he had to them.
At Les Bowen, make sure you follow Les on X platform there, PHLY_sports. You can read him there. He's doing a tremendous job, one of the greatest of all time in my estimation. Love catching up with Les Bowen.
Well, thank you.
It's good to see you, buddy.
Great to see you guys.
Les, great having you on, man. We appreciate it so much, and we'll talk to you again soon. All right, brother.
I hope so. Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Les. Thanks, Les. There's Les Bowen joining the show here on Jacob Sports. We appreciate him here on this special Friday edition of Birds 365. Try to make good takeaways there from Les. I love talking to him because, you know, he has a good way to encapsulate or discuss a wide range of topics in a very clear way. But interesting takeaways from him. And then we kind of recap the season, and I'm like, boy, are they making the right moves with blowing up this defense? And I was watching, I told you, I watched the mic'd up the other night of the Eagles. And I'm like, this defense was insane. I mean, even in the Super Bowl, we can build the 17-0 lead because of the defense, because of the offense.
Not only in this era to be as dominant as they were defensively, when everything is shifted towards the offense, let's be honest. We talk about it all the time. That's why NFL teams value offense more. You know, part of it is obviously quarterback is the most important player. That's the most obvious reason. But, you know, the league wants offense. And most people are entertained by a bunch of points. So that's always has been their philosophy. And when there's a rule change, it almost inevitably helps the offense. And so in this era, you know, you can go back to the 70s. There was a lot of great defenses, and the old adage back then was, you know, good defense beats good offense. I think it's the exact opposite today, for the most part. And the Eagles were able to overcome. The Eagles won the Super Bowl in such a strange way. They don't throw the ball a lot. Mm-hmm. They ran for 2,500 yards. They played good defense. It was almost like 1970s football in this era, which is amazing. But even after the Eagles saw it, and they might be, as Les pointed out, you can make an argument for Kansas City, but they might be the smartest organization in the NFL. And even after what they went through and what they saw, they still want to pay the offense. Because long term, now it's going to change a little bit with Jalen Carter, maybe Nolan Smith, maybe Jordan Davis, maybe Quinyon Mitchell, maybe Cooper Dejean, and it evens out. But you start to wonder, who are they not going to pay? You know, Lane's going to retire at some point, but it's not like they don't want to find a right tackle. They pay Jordan Mailata. They're going to pay Cam Jurgens. They pay Landon Dickerson. They pay Saquon. They pay AJ. They pay Devontae. They pay Dallas. We'll see if that continues. They pay everybody on offense. There's going to have to be some difficult decisions.
People aren't ready for those conversations yet, John. You talk about some conversations people aren't ready for. They are not ready for the conversations that will come when the
and offense... that's where you got it. That's where the draft becomes so important, because you got to like the next right tackle. You got to repopulate that in the draft, probably. And you'll have that 3-4 year window where you're not paying major money, but your ultimate goal is to pay them major money. Because that means they're really good.
We'll see what they end up doing. Jenny Mac, great week of shows. We hit the draft. We got to get more into the draft. That's my fault. We're going to get more into the draft next week. We got to dive through what we did. A good job today, I think, laying out, you know, maybe potential plans and potential moves the Eagles could make in the NFL draft. Obviously, Les Bohm was really good today. You know, we'll see what they do. But, John, your final thoughts on this Football Friday edition of Birds 365, brother.
Maybe you'll see a trickle or two. I think, you know, the Eagles are going to be very cognizant of, you know, not affecting the compensatory picks. So I don't think you're going to see any, if you see any, and I don't want to call them big money, but I'm talking about 1 year, $7-8 million deals. That's probably not going to come until after. It doesn't affect the compensatory picks. So we might be heading into that phase of the offseason. Can always be a 1 year, $2 million player, but that's not going to, you know, move the needle that much. Justin Simmons is a guy you're probably going to have to wait for, is what I'm saying, you know, because he's going to get some money, not break the bank, but
yeah.
And he might be willing to wait.
I'm not as in on Justin Simmons as a lot of Eagles fans are.
Well, you shouldn't be. I mean,
I should or shouldn't be.
Shouldn't, you know, big name.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't. Draft. I don't even think he was that good last year, was he? He didn't
grade out. It's okay. He wasn't. You know, they had Jesse Bates. So he's not Jesse Bates.
But, and what's he going to cost? We just got rid of C.J. Gardner-Johnson for $8.5 million. What's he going to cost?
1 year, $7 million, somewhere around.
Yeah, I don't like that. You save $1.5 million to get an older guy who was worse last year?
Well, forget about it. There's a lot of things with CJ. CJ's gone. Turn the page.
I'm just saying. That's all. Yeah. I mean, I don't look at Justin Simmons as like, oh, we'll make sure we go get him. If we go get him, we'll
go. Oh, no, it's more of, you know, again, they want Sidney Brown to seize the job, but, you know, they don't want to hand it to him. And they got to bring some. It might be Justin Blackman. It might be a lesser name. Defensive tackle, same type of thing. They need to bring in somebody to probably draft-proof the roster.
I like Walter Nolan, maybe.
Well, I'm not. They're definitely going to draft somebody up front. Yeah. But I meant even before that, they want some kind of insurance policy, like the, you know, like they've done at so many other positions. Well, you know, Harrison Bryant's going to be an all-pro, but the rest of the guys, the A.J. Dillons, you know, of the contracts we know or have somewhat, Bryant got $2 million, so that's tremendous for a first-team all-pro. That's even better than Zach Bond to get him at 1 year, $2 million. Uche, 1 year, $1.92 million. Charlie Hewlett's, you know, obviously, long snapper, 1.42. Adoree got 1.75, supposedly, and Aziz got 4, but we haven't seen the official details of that. The other guys, A.J. Dillon, Patrick Johnson, Avery Williams, Kylan Granson, the other all-pro tight end they signed. we don't even know, but I'm guessing they're close to the veteran minimum as well.
We'll see what happens as it unfolds. Johnny Mac, great week of shows, brother, here on Birds 365. It's always a great week when you guys are here with us on Jacob Sports. We appreciate all the people for listening, all the likes, the shares, the subscribes, the comments, the podcast. The podcast listeners have been killing it, Johnny Mac, listening into the podcast like crazy. So if you like podcasts and you're here listening right now, make sure you go subscribe to Birds 365 on podcast, because – if you're ever in the car or you can't watch on YouTube, you can always tune up. I've been posting our segments as well as the full show. So you guys can always go and check that out as well on the podcast. Make sure you guys leave a review over there. But Johnny Mac, great week of shows, brother. Enjoy your weekend. We maybe have to do a Birds football 24/7. I doubt it. But if we did, I'll talk to you then. If not, Monday morning, brother, I'll catch you then. Thank you, Johnny Mac.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the weekend.
All right. Good stuff. Johnny Mac checking in on Birds 365. Great show today. Johnny Mac was on fire. Les Bowen was on fire.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.